What is up, you amazing listeners and viewers tuning in from whichever podcast you love to get your tuning in from whichever podcast, tuning in from whichever platform you love to get your podcast from. Sorry, I'm so focused on making sure my voice doesn't crack, as this episode is going to be quite interesting. So my co-host is not here tonight, and my voice is gone. So what a weird episode. But for those tuning in from whichever platform you love to get your podcast from, be sure to smash that like button, comment down below any questions you have, or you know, maybe what you're smoking on tonight, and be sure to hit that like button if you enjoy and follow along to show the sponsors some major love. Now, the sponsors of tonight's show are TNB Naturals, Hydro Bucket, Atlas Seed, and the Autoflower Review. So be sure to definitely show them some major love. And I am so sorry if my voice is like nails on a chalkboard on this episode. I am trying with all of my might to make sure I don't have some like squeakiness to it, or I just don't sound horrendous to listen to. Now, in today's episode, I'm going to keep it pretty simple. We're going to go back to basics. I've talked about this many a times. I get asked about it from time to time again. I have to do it here soon. And we're going to talk about germination process and seed process. So what my favorite germination techniques are, and what my favorite seed like cutting techniques, or how to care for mothers, and how to take seeds from fathers, or things like that. So I'm just going to kind of give a quick overview of all of that, and not chit chat too long because my voice is a little messed up. But yes, I will definitely try to give some good information, so stay tuned. Now, to start off, we are going to talk about germination. Now, germination is something I've talked about many times before, and there's dozens of I shouldn't say there's dozens. There's quite a few methods out there. Paper towel method's a very familiar one. And there's soaking your seeds and things like that. My go-to, what I do every single time, I use two-thirds distilled water to one-third hydrogen peroxide. The 3% hydrogen peroxide, it's the store brand in like the little brown bottle. I just do that ratio, soak my seeds for about 24 to 48 hours, and then they pop out, and I plant them. So that's the easiest method. I don't have any issues with that. The hydrogen peroxide helps keep the root zone clean and clear while you pop it, and then it also introduces more O2 into the water for the taproot to actually have. So pretty helpful. Now, as far as planting it, what do I plant into? Well, I like peat moss cubes nowadays, or the little peat moss pods. I think they rock. They're really awesome. They're super easy to soak. And I just use a rooting solution. So I'm fortunate, and I have this stuff from Cultured Biologics. They're no longer producing stuff for the public right now. I think they're trying to figure all that out. It's a really great product, but basically, any good mycorrhizal formula or mycorrhizae heavy formula will be really, really great. Mycorrhizae is kind of the key to a root zone being absorbent early on and growing pretty large, and really taking in all those nutrients. You don't need to overdo it. Less is more, less is more, less is more. So definitely don't worry about if you end up overdoing it. You will burn your plant. It may or may not die depending on how much you overdo it. It happens. So just learn less is more. Take your time. Anytime it tells you to use a certain amount, my go-to rule of thumb is just use quarter that. So if it's telling you to use a teaspoon, use a quarter of a teaspoon. And then work your way up as your plant's showing you. Your plant will tell you whenever it needs more food. But that's what I soak my cubes in, or my peat moss pods. You only have to soak them for like 15 minutes, so you can soak them on the spot. I use the distilled water, hydrogen peroxide, plus the mycorrhizae, except when I do it with that, I'm only adding 1 to 3 drops of hydrogen peroxide to the entire bit of water, and then I allow it to sit for a few minutes, and that's just to help kind of clean the water. But I don't want too much hydrogen peroxide because of the mycorrhizal life. Mycorrhizae. It's hard for me to say the plural version of that. But it's you don't want to kill your mycorrhizae. So with that being said, The next thing that I do is just allow those roots to come out of those peat moss pods, and those peat moss pods go into the final soil mix, which is usually Roots Organic 707. And I usually dust mycorrhizae, the great white mycorrhizae, onto the transplant spots. So that is kind of my go-to method. And they go into the Autopot system or another system. I'll probably be getting more Autopot systems because I really love them. So that'll most likely be what they all go into. But that's been my setup so far. Now, if you were going to do into rock wool or any other things, you would just soak your cubes in the same solution, and go about your business. It's not. I shouldn't say it's not rocket science because obviously it takes trial and error, right? So expect to potentially mess up a couple seeds or seedlings, and expect to mess up a couple clones. It's part of the process. I still mess up seedlings and clones here and there, whenever I'm being lazy or if I accidentally just have a hiccup completely. Like, it just happens. It's the reality of it. But yeah, the next stage of this process, which we're gonna try to keep this episode to about 10 to 15 minutes, because my voice is for the worse and I'm trying not to talk. But cloning, honestly, a lot of people ask me about how do you care for mothers long term, how do you care for fathers long term. Well, it's the same principle, mother or father plant. Fathers, you just might have to eventually take clones of and keep going through the genetics, like, of cloning, but as long as you keep them in a large enough container, as long as you feed them proper, you keep the mycorrhizal life happy, and you keep them fed, you usually don't have any issues with keeping your plants in containers. If you start to see that they're getting sickly, maybe it's time to move them up into a container or take from a clone and go ahead and move them in and go down a generation. Just remember, whenever you clone, technically there's a minute difference in genetic and potency as you go down the generations. The first generation's not too bad. It's when you start cloning clones, that's where it gets kind of finicky. And if you clone a clone of a clone, that's where it's like, yeah, it's where you get really weird. But yeah, that's generally the principles is you're just wanting to keep your root system healthy. So you don't have to go plant it in an absorbently big home. Like a 5 gallon size is great, 7 gallons great. I have one in a 3 gallon. So just depends on what your space is. You want to make sure you keep a hedge line, which is where you'll trim every time it gets past at a certain distance. And your plant will generally bounce back from those hedge lines really quick, and they're usually really resilient. The only thing that you usually need to do is to re-amend the soil, so add more soil or add earthworm castings or something like that, just to naturally the drain off will take matter away, and the whole plant absorbing food and little tiny, mycorrhizae eating the soil and things. So there's a whole lot going on in the soil, and you end up losing soil over a period of time. So you'll definitely want to make sure you have something to re-amend. I highly recommend just keeping some extra soil on hand, or my favorite, which is earthworm castings, because that feeds the soil as you re-amend it, which is really nice. So keeping them, that's it. pH-wise, I have dozens of episodes of proper pH ranges, so definitely check those out. We'll do a quick, just a really quick one. Seedlings 5.6 to 5.9 pH is what I definitely recommend staying around. 5.9 is kind of ideal. Vegetative stage 6.0 to 6.1, and then for flower 6.1 to 6.3 pH is kind of perfect. So those are the ranges that I like to stay in, and I have lots of episodes of why. And then nowadays, because I use this product called pH Lush, which I use sparingly now because it's not a product you can get a hold of anymore, as of right now. And I'm kind of bummed out about that. It was amazing, and it unlocked the potential for a plant to utilize all the pH ranges, even if it was sitting in one pH range. So really, really helpful add-on. I talk about it many times, but those are the pH ranges. How to take clones. You want a clean pair of seriously sharp shears or a fresh razor. I usually go for a fresh razor. You'll want to clean it with alcohol, and you'll want to have alcohol and paper towels on hand to clean in between cuttings. You'll want to go take – usually what I do is I take my shears. I go take all my cuttings, which I just take them real quick, clip, 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 clip. I usually take a cutting that has three nodes and some large fan leaves. I will then soak the cuttings in a rooting solution on the roots while I'm trimming off the edge of the fan leaves. So you want to trim off the edge of the fan leaves about halfway up a fan leaf, all the fingers. And what that does is it actually stops the growth of the fan leaf and actually tells the plant to force itself to root. So it's actually helpful to rooting your clones a little quicker. And then I also soak my peat moss pods, and I go ahead and take my razor when my clone is fully trimmed, and at a 45-degree angle, I cut the stalk and dip the stalk into a rooting gel. I use the organic Foop rooting gel, which I like a lot. Foop has a really great gel. There's a couple other ones that I use. The Culture Biologics rooting solution is what I use to soak all my stuff in. So from the rooting gel, I put it straight into the plug that's been soaked in the rooting solution. And then those go into a little propagation tray and dome for the next 7 to 14 days until they're fully rooted. Then they'll get planted into whatever I need, solo cups or 1 gallon containers. Usually I just, with clones, you know, it's just planting smaller is better, so I just move up in sizes. But that's the easiest, most foolproof way of keeping clones, because in a propagation dome you can make the humidity high by just spraying distilled water on the top of the dome and then closing it, and then it should, as long as you only open the little vents, like, you know, barely, you'll have 90-some% humidity, which is what you want during the rooting stage. So you want airflow, so you definitely want the vents open, but you don't want them open like full. That's how I do my clones. It works every time for me. I never really have issues with them. I have really great success now ever since I've just been sticking them straight into pods and not using like a aeroponic like system or setup. It's weird because if you don't have the nozzle spraying at a high enough or small enough PPM with enough particles, there's a whole science behind aeroponics. It's really not effective compared to other ways of cloning, like what I just explained. So those like books you used to get in Barnes and Noble that would be like blah 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 101 kind of thing, like 101 on, you know, car making or something, model making or something. Well, this was like a quick 101 lesson on germination and cloning. Very easy. No gimmicky tricks, nothing. My germination process, I have 100% success on. Right now, my cloning process, I have 100% success on as of now. So this is something that when I was doing aeroponics, I was not getting 100%. When I did Rockwell cubes, I wasn't getting 100%. So I like my peat moss pods very much so. I think they work really great. I think they're amazing on how much aeration they have throughout them and how much moisture they absorb and keep in. Plus, they go great in almost any medium. So, yeah, except for if you're going to use, obviously, if you're going to use hydroponics, you need to get dialed in with Rockwell cubes, or you need to get an aeroponic way of chamber or some sort of hydroponic setup to have clones that have full roots, to have like a hydro bucket, which is, if you didn't see the last episode we had, or one of the last few episodes, we had Mitchell Gorgachuk on from Visionary Hydroponics, which is one of the sponsors of the podcast, Hydro Bucket. They make a really amazing lid for where you can put like a foam collar and just there's no medium. You just do a insert into a foam collar and your plant grows. So that's a really cool way of growing. There's a lot of ways out there, but this was just a quick foolproof way of getting the down to the nitty gritty of just how do I germinate seeds? How do I care for mother plants? How do I care for a father? Oh yeah, let me explain that real quick. Father plant is exactly like a mother plant. The only difference is when you put it in flower, it creates pollen, and if that pollen gets onto a flowering plant, it will create seeds. How hard is pollen, or how much pollen can be too much? Literally, a speck of pollen will cause seeds to form on some spot of your plant. It will not seed out your plant. Now, if you have a full male in your tent that shakes or gets bumped or starts pollinating, yeah, your whole plant will be seeded out. So, males are great. Males keep bloodlines going in cannabis, and you know, they add traits too, and oftentimes they increase potency. So I'm a fan of keeping males in my garden. And when I say I'm a fan of keeping males in my garden, I'm a fan of keeping a singular male in my garden that is a strong, healthy male that I used to breed with for a select period of time, collect enough pollen, and then the male becomes retired. So unless I have a stud that I keep around for a year or more, and then I keep it around for what I need it for. So, yeah, it's an interesting process of keeping males and females. Females are a little easier to keep because, well, it's flower and, you don't have to worry about pollen sex. So it's not too hard, but I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, be sure to like, hit that like button, comment down below any little tips, tricks, or if you have any questions, and definitely follow along or subscribe from whichever platform you're tuning in from. So you show the sponsors of the show some major love. That would be TNB Naturals, Hydro Bucket, Atlas Seed, and the Autoflower Review. And I am Chronic from the Cannabis Chronicles, and this has been another Tuesdays with TCK. And yeah, my voice will be hopefully much better next week and the week following. And exciting news, you'll see a lot more content and me back on Instagram and back to doing much more podcasts and just general things on YouTube and Spotify as we finally have a place and we are moving. So life is finally going to be a little more chillax on the space to cultivate and show you guys that, you know, using my camera has been kind of a headache. So yes, lots to look forward to. All right, without further ado, much love, happy growing, and peace, everyone.